Coming up, mental illness and the pill industry. Does pharmaceutical treatment actually help mental illness or not? We'll talk about that after looking at some of the news stories that we're following now. It's 30 minutes after the hour. And right now, former Scotland Yard Commissioner Sir Paul Stevenson is testifying before the British Parliament about the police involvement in the phone hacking scandal. Let's take a listen.
You've added to your statement, or that you should say to whoever takes over, about what they can do to restore that morale in the Met.
Well, of course, my statement was for both public and private consumption. I've done a separate message to my own people in the organisation. I will be doing another message to them before I go. You know, I've spoken to many police officers since my resignation. They spoke about their pride. They spoke about their pride that somebody was willing to do something, even though they don't feel they've done anything wrong, but willing to actually walk away when it might interfere with their discharge of their duties in a very difficult year. So in a funny old way, actually, in many areas of the organisation, there's great pride. Now, what I would point to is what...
Earlier, that's Scotland Yard Commissioner Sir Paul Stevenson testifying in Parliament. Earlier, Stevenson says he never asked a question about phone hacking because he had no reason to believe the original investigation had been unsuccessful. That's the undercard, though. The main event will come 2 hours from now when Rupert Murdoch and his son James testify, and they'll be followed by Rebecca Brooks, the former head of Murdoch's British newspapers. The trio are expected to be questioned about what they knew about phone hacking at the News of the World tabloid and whether or not there was a cover-up. Pope Benedict has accepted the resignation of Philadelphia Archbishop Cardinal Justin Regali. The Vatican says it was for age reasons, since he's 76 years old, but he has been under pressure because of his handling of the sex abuse scandal in his diocese. A dangerous heat wave continues to blanket the Midwest. Yesterday, temperatures hit 120 in Mitchell, South Dakota, 119 in Madison. The heat index is expected to reach 110 in Chicago today. Deputy Commissioner Joel Mitchell wants people there to look out for each other.
We're also encouraging neighbors, family, friends to go and knock on doors and see how people are doing, how their family members are doing, especially those who are seniors, those who may have disabilities.
In all, more than 40 states are expected to see temperatures in the 90s or higher this week. And for the last time, a space shuttle has left the International Space Station. The Atlantis is now homeward bound on its final space journey. It'll touch down on Thursday, but NASA is not shutting down. NASA says its Dawn spacecraft is now orbiting a massive asteroid for the first time. The asteroid is called Vesta. It's located in the main asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter, some 117 million miles away. Let's check the markets. Asian markets are mixed and European indices are up. Futures are up. The Dow will start at 12,385, the S&P at 1,305, and the NASDAQ will open at 2,344. Give us your views on the news. Reach us by phone or at facebook.com/thetakeaway.
Now to a debate going on in the medical community. With the extraordinary advances in medical imaging and the growth in our awareness of the complex chemical interactions that play a role in our brains, psychiatry has undergone a revolution. From the analysis-oriented therapies of more than a generation ago, today psychiatry claims to ground itself in experimental science, the measuring of chemical imbalances and using drugs to correct and control those chemical mixtures in our brains. Today, drugs treat everything from mood disorders to chronic pain, as well as long-standing syndromes of traditional insanity, schizophrenia, and others. People, doctors, therapists talk about serotonin and dopamine levels, not to mention Prozac, Zyprexa, and Zoloft, as though they really know what is going on. But do they? Well, a widely read series of articles in the New York Review of Books from Marcia Angel, a highly respected physician with credentials from Harvard and the New England Journal of Medicine, may provide some answers. She reviewed three recent books and concluded that the whole pharmacochemical approach to psychiatry may be hugely misguided, the drugs overprescribed, and their effectiveness utterly questionable. Robert Whitaker is the author of one of those books. It's called Anatomy of an Epidemic, Magic Bullets, Psychiatric Drugs, and the Astonishing Rise of Mental Illness in America. Robert, good morning.
Good morning, and thanks for having me.
So I'd love to talk to you. And Marcia Angel really sort of spearheaded underscored a debate that's been going on for quite a while in the medical community. Describe how you came upon this story.
Well, I've really been writing about this for about 10 years. I first wrote a book called Mad in America 10 years ago about the treatment of the seriously mentally ill in our country from colonial times until today. But I came upon the story when I found a World Health Organization study which when they twice reported that outcomes for schizophrenia patients were much, much better in poor countries of the world, specifically India, Colombia, and Nigeria, than in the U.S. and other rich countries. And I wanted to know, well, why would that be? Because my understanding was we were making this great progress in understanding the biological causes of schizophrenia. So I investigated that, and when you do investigate that, you find something quite stunning. And you find, for example, in the poor countries, which had the better outcomes, is that they used the medications in a very different manner. They used them, at least at that time when the studies were done, for short-term suppression of symptoms, control of symptoms, but they didn't keep their patients on them long-term. So it was a different paradigm of care. And that began this whole challenge for me to understand, well, how do medications affect long-term outcomes? Because I began as a complete believer that these drugs fix chemical imbalances in the brain and were absolutely greatly improving outcomes.
And let's talk a little bit about the efficacy question for antidepressant drugs and other sort of psychopharmacological substances that are now in wide use. Is it the case that when there is testing of drugs that the efficacy for a mental illness treatment is different from, say, diabetes or a blood disorder or something that has a much more straightforward physiological cause and effect?
Oh, sure. You'll see the benefit over placebo is much, much smaller, much narrower. And one of the things that Marcia Angel was writing about is if you look at, say, the trials of SSRIs, these are the selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor antidepressants that were submitted to the FDA, their benefit over placebo was basically clinically insignificant except for a group that had very severe depression. So, this raises a question. Why aren't they better than placebo? But that's just part of the efficacy question. That's how the drugs affect the outcomes over 6 weeks. In this book, and one of the things that Marcia Angel in my book was referring to is, I looked at how do the medications affect, say, the long-term course of depression? And that can be a very different question than the efficacy over the short term.
Is this a scientific argument, or have you just basically embraced what the Scientologists love to say, is that psychiatry is a bunch of quacks?
No, it's completely scientific. I mean, I'm a very sort of hard-nosed reporter who's been covering science and medicine for a long term. So what I did is just look at the long-term outcome studies done by the National Institute of Mental Health, by other governments, that sort of thing. And actually, you'll find when you do that and sort of trace long-term outcomes, there's a scientific trail that basically spans 50 years that tells you a very different story about long-term outcomes. So, what you hear in psychiatry and other areas of medicine is we have to have evidence-based medicine, and we have to follow that evidence base. And what I've done in Anatomy of an Epidemic is put together a story of, okay, here is your evidence base about how these medications, say, shape the long-term course of depression. And what you find is, frankly, is that in the aggregate, on the whole, they increase the chronicity of the disorder. Now, that doesn't mean that nobody benefits from antidepressants. There's plenty of people who do. But on the whole, depression today, with the SSRIs, runs a much more chronic course than it used to. And you also see, so for example, one of the titles, Anatomy of an Epidemic, in 1987, which is when Prozac comes to market, there were 1.25 million people on disability in the United States due to mental illness. Today, there's more than 4 million.
Wow.
So in this time when we've really embraced the use of these drugs, we've had this extraordinary increase in the number of people on disability. And at the very least, that begs a question that our society needs to answer. Why the rise in disability?
And why do you think it is? Are the drugs overprescribed? Should they not be used? You say they benefit some, but probably not the majority.
Well, this is the discussion we need to have. We need to figure out who they benefit and for how long. So there are subsets of people with depression that antidepressants, I do think, help over the short term. But we really need to take stock of the fact that long term, you see people really ending up, so many people ending up in a chronically depressed state. And actually, there's just an article this month in a European journal about this very problem, about the increasing number of people with refractory depression after years on antidepressants.
And if the number of the people with the disease is going up, you wouldn't call that an effective therapy necessarily. But with mental illness, maybe there's a different set of rules. Robert Ridicler is a journalist who writes on medical issues, the author of Anatomy of an Epidemic, Magic Bullets, Psychiatric Drugs, and the Astonishing Rise of Mental Illness in America. Robert, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.